welcome to the 190th episode of The Week with Roger, a conversation between analysts about all things telecom, media, and technology from Recon Analytics. I'm Don Kellogg, and with me as always is Roger Entner. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So, Roger, we had a couple interesting things happen last week. U.S. Cellular reported, and Mint's deal with T-Mobile finally went through. So I thought we could talk about both of those. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with U.S. Cellular. As I wrote on Twitter, the slow bloodletting continues. U.S. Cellular lost 47,000 handsets, gained 3,000 connected devices. More concerning, their gross adds went down. Year over year, handset gross adds went down by a third. That's like a lot, right? Churn is roughly where it was a year ago. They gained like 10,000 fixed wireless customers. You know, in prepaid, it doesn't look much better, right? They lost 13,000 prepaid customers. The gross adds were roughly held flat. Profitability went down, right? The ARPU went up. Congratulations. They showed a view of the towers. They have like 4,382 towers, but only 2,397 co-locations. That means like 1.55 tenants per tower. You know, industry average is more like 2.5. As I said before, if you take U.S. Cellular away, 45% of their towers have no tenants. Not that great. And we wanted to not talk about their strategic reassessment. And so basically, no news, which means
nobody wants to buy them yet.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I like U.S. Cellular, but they so retreated from competition into rural America, they're now backed into a corner. And T-Mobile is coming. You know, previously they only had to slug it out against AT&T and Verizon. Now T-Mobile is coming in and they can't grow in urban markets anymore because they have like 50% market share, right? So they want to grow now against U.S. Cellular. Good luck, my friends. And I mean here U.S. Cellular, not T-Mobile. They're going to eat them for lunch and they're eating them for lunch. It's just tough, right? That's U.S. Cellular for you.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, I've been in remote places in Maine or even, believe it or not, there are remote places in California as well. And U.S. Cellular is everywhere, right? All over the place. You see stores. But from a kind of network coverage perspective and a retail perspective and just a pure subscriber perspective, going to those ultra rural areas is a really, really tough road, right? And that's where they've kind of boxed themselves in.
Yeah, they box themselves in places where nobody lives. That's the challenge. I don't even know if they're the biggest carrier in Wisconsin and Iowa, but that's where, like, you know, they have stuff there and in Kansas, in some swaths of Kansas and Oklahoma. And they're in North Carolina, rural Virginia and rural Tennessee and in the New England parts where nobody lives, which is like New Hampshire and Maine, right? And then in rural Northern California, rural Oregon, and rural Washington.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their coverage on a map, it's more than you think it's going to be just based on kind of how big they are. But it's because it's in all these kind of unpopulated areas, largely, right? Or sparsely populated areas, you know, where you figure there's more people than there actually are.
And people there deserve good wireless coverage too. But, well,
yeah.
Who knows if somebody takes care of them or not. But doesn't look like it.
The point you've made before is that the trend now in wireless is to not try to merge networks and do things of that nature, but to rip and replace, right?
Yeah.
In that context, their network has very little value.
Yeah. And in rural America, there's a surplus in spectrum. In urban America, there's not enough, right? Because it's a population density game.
Let's talk about a company that is doing quite well. Two companies that are doing quite well, they're deciding to become one company. That's Mint Mobile being acquired by T-Mobile. We consistently have shown Mint is generating the highest satisfaction scores that we measure on our wireless study. You know, they've got rock bottom prices.
Yeah, cheap service helps, right?
Cheap service helps. We've done research on that too, right? Like the value is the largest lever that you can pull in terms of overall satisfaction in wireless.
Yeah. Mint is a carrier for people who don't want to pay money and use a lot of data.
Right.
And they promised not to change that. And yeah, we've seen them grow like gangbuster.
Yep.
And so we'll see how long they leave them in peace. Companies typically don't buy other companies to leave them in peace. So give it 6 months to a year and we'll see what the new overlords will do and what they have in mind. And how long we will have to endure Ryan Reynolds ads now, not only with Mint, but now in Magenta, should be interesting.
In some ways, this is kind of a continuation of the story of how T-Mobile's changing post-Sprint acquisition, right? I mean, they had the whole can't raise prices for a few years after the deal type thing. They had given, by our understanding, very good MVNO rates to Mint as part of that deal. And now that they're on the other side of that, they can kind of start to clean things up a little bit in terms of acquiring Mint. I mean, that's obviously a valuable customer base. And T-Mobile, I think out of the national carriers, is probably the best at converting people from prepaid to postpaid. So it gives them another pipeline.
But I don't know if they can convert these people, because if they pay $15 a month, that upsell is like, you know, T-Mobile failed in upselling you and you're not on a $15. You know, I'm not sure if I would be a Mint customer and I would be willing to pay three times for that to upgrade to Essential, right? So it will be interesting of how they will keep the different products apart, because the Mint product is a really strong product.
We've had disagreements about this in the past, right? But like Mint is a direct consumer brand that carries a lot less overhead than a brand where you're operating a lot of stores. Right. Like, yeah, you can buy their stuff and, you know, charge Philip cards and things and places, but they're primarily doing most of their sales direct to consumer online. You know, one of the things that's interesting when we look at the data is, you know, we did some work a while back where we looked at how many different providers and folks research before they chose who they're with. And Mint actually had the highest number of people researching, right? Which tells me these are informed consumers that are making a choice and they're balancing trade-offs and they're finding a good deal. Now, that also tells me if there's an opportunity there, if Mint produces more value or T-Mobile produces more value, to engage with those folks. But these are not folks just like running through Walmart and grabbing the first charge-up card they find.
They're bargain shoppers, and they went around and looked for the best bargain, and they found it with Mint. And if it's no longer the best bargain, they know already the number two and three and even four guy they can go to where they can get a similarly good deal, right? And I think Mint played its cards extremely well. They became so annoying that T-Mobile took them out. Good job. $1.35 billion, including payouts. And so it will be interesting on, I don't know if we will ever hear on the earnout. No, we might hear, because they will probably have to break out how many, I don't know if T-Mobile will bury the Mint data in the overall prepaid segment or not, but regardless. It's going to be an interesting ride.
Yeah, it will be interesting. So congratulations to T-Mobile and to the Mint folks. Well-deserved. And will be interesting to see how those two cultures merge, because I think they're similar in a lot of ways. But, you know, things can change post-merger. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see how the California culture merges with the California-Canadian culture merges with Washington culture.
Seattle, yeah.
By the way, subscribe to Recon Analytics on LinkedIn. We're going to do more stuff there. Also, please rate us on the podcast. Recommend us on the podcast, you know, if you like this. If not, just ignore me. But please do that.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.